clay pot filled with honey from the ceiling. It was a big, a high ceiling. And then they distributed sticks and asked if anyone would like to crack the pot of honey. And there was a guest from Delhi, I suppose, and he said yes, he would crack the pot of honey. The monks explained that Lord Balaram used to like to drink honey as it was coming in a stream from the trees, and we would now reenact this pastime. But in order to do this, they bound the eyes of the person from Delhi, they blindfolded him. Also sie haben ihm eine Tuchbinde vor das Auge gebunden. And then they turned him in circles and then they said, now go. So he went, I think, back to Delhi. He missed the direction. He was hitting into the air, and maybe he still tries to find the honey of Lord Balaram. So one after the other did this, and then finally, maybe the fifth attempt, it was a monk, I still remember, he was blindfolded, he was beating in the air, and he didn't miss the pot, so the pot cracked, and a steady stream, I believe it took 20 minutes for that big pot to empty itself, came down, and everyone was encouraged to come and jump forward and drink the honey as it was streaming down. I asked, what is that all about? And I was informed that today the mercy of Lord Balaram flows like that honey. And anyone who's intelligent enough to come, open his hands and receive the mercy, he will become full of this mercy, which makes him intoxicated with love. I don't know if you know what it is to be intoxicated with love. We are in Berlin and there are many intoxicated people. But to be really overwhelmed with the influence of divine love, that is something which everyone aspires for. The intoxicated people of Berlin and the monks as well. So it was about receiving the mercy of Lord Balaram, who is streaming today like a steady, uninterrupted flow of honey. And it is my great desire that everyone here in this room will get a little of that honey, that sweetness. For sure, I know that at the end of this ceremony, the priests will come one more time from behind the altar, and they will bring the bathing water of the Lord, which you all came forward, and I know there's a lot of honey inside because I was pouring one glass after the other. So yes, so let us hear a little bit about this divine personality today. Let us open our ears, our intellect, and our heart to receive Balaram Kripa on this day, which is called Balaram Jayanti, the appearance day of Lord Balaram. Please repeat after me a mantra through which we offer respectful obeisances to Balaram. Namas. One moment. I have to put this right. Yes, this is right. Namaste.
Namaste.
Vainam Shrestha.
Vainam Shrestha.
Namaste.
Namaste.
Dharani Dara.
Dharani Dara.
Pralambare.
Pralambare.
Namaste Tu.
Namaste.
I offer my respectful obeisances to Lord Balaram. He's the best of the strong and the support of the entire earth. Obeisances unto you, O enemy of Pralamba. Please deliver me, O older brother of Krishna. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale
Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavani Pashchatyage Shatayine
Sri Krishna Chaitanya
Prabhu Nityananda Sri Adaita Gadadhara Sri Vasadi Gauravakta Vrinda.
Dear everyone, when we talk of God, we have to know He has many, many forms in which He manifests Himself. And all these forms are identical with Him.
Please give me the candle.
Consider this candle. Imagine it is a real candle with a flame. Now when I take a second candle and light it from the first candle, what would you say? The light in the first candle the same as the light of flame in the second candle? Someone nods the head. Yes, it is the same. I can take this flame and I can... This is no flame, this is electricity, so...
is that a flame?
Yes. Same.
There. Yes. This one. This, yes, here we go. Yes. Take carefully. This oil lamp.
I can take multiple other oil lamps. Hold them to this first oil lamp and have a flame which is identical with this. So in much the same way, God or Krishna has many expansions and they are all the Lord Himself. Therefore, in spirituality, we don't make the mistakes with which religions sometimes make, not all the times. And that is to quarrel about, oh my God is different from your God. The Hindu God is different from the Christian God. The Muslim God is different from the... what else do we have? Jewish God. No? It is not like this. Spiritualists see the Lord is in His many forms always the Supreme Personality. However, each single manifestation of God has some specific thing to offer. For instance, Buddha has something to offer wisdom, divine wisdom. Prithu Maharaj has governance or rulership over the earth to offer. Krishna has to offer beauty, sweetness, his flute play, etc. And Balaram, who is the first expansion of Krishna, has also something special to offer. Balaram, if you so want, is the first light which has expanded from the original light. This form of the Lord is in this mantra worshipped as the best of the strong and the support of the earth. You must know that there are two types of strengths, and when we hear today about this strength, we mean a particular type of strength, a strength which we all need so very much. There is what we can call Purushakara, that is our own strength, the strength which we human beings can come up and expand. I have seen today one guest of ours. He has trained very hard and he has now very strong biceps muscles. I have seen last time when I saw his muscles, they were hanging down a little bit, but perhaps he felt inspired to train his muscle. So he has become a little stronger than last time I saw him, but his strength has certainly a limit. The strength of Balaram has no limit. It is said in one of his forms, he is carrying all the planets on his head. What we know in this world as the law of gravitation is the strength of Balaram in the spiritual world. It's Balaram, or in a form called Ananta Shesha, who supports all the planets, who are like mustard seeds, small. And he doesn't even feel the weight when he carries them on his head. There is a pilgrimage place in Vrindavan where you can go, where it is said that Balaram, at the time when the earth was in trouble, put his foot down and he lifted the whole earth on his hand. So you can still see the footprint of Lord Balaram at that particular place. It is to be found. Oh, I know exactly how to go there, but what was the name? Yes, the mountain of Vyomasura. They're just near to it, you can see. However, when we as spiritual people think about strengths, we don't think so much of muscular strengths or of physical strengths, of the strengths which is required to lift a planet. We think more of another type of strength, which is known as Daivi. Daivi means a divine strength which is given by the Lord to those who asked for it. This divine strength is very, very important when you want to walk the spiritual path without failing and falling and making mistakes. No? There's an Upanishadic verse about this. It says, Nayamatma balahine nalabhya. One can't attain the platform of self-realization without spiritual strength. One cannot attain the platform of self-realization without spiritual strength. 3 days ago, one of my very close devotee friends had sent me a video of a saint who lives also in that mystic place, Vrindavan. This saint has since a long time strong kidney failure. Now, he was often asked, what if we, he has disciples or students who learn from him, many, many people are there. When he comes out in the morning to go to the place where he gives the morning lecture, there 20,000 people on the side of the road, 10,000 on the left side and 10,000 on the right side, and they want to just get his darshan. They want to see him and they want to be seen by him. So many of his followers have said, we know you have a strong kidney failure. We must, can we give you a kidney donation? And he said, no. How can I live when I give pain to others? I will not accept a donation of healthy kidneys. But you will live longer and you will serve longer. And then he said something so beautifully. I don't live on material strengths. I live on Daivi, on spiritual strength, which is given to me by Sriji. Sriji is Srimati Radharani. You know, by God, the godly dimension. This is a necessary spiritual strength if you want to move forward and make consistent advancement in spiritual life without failing and without falling down. See, your material education, your wealth, your beauty, all what you have learned in school and from life cannot really help you to dance with God, to be in His presence, and so on. For this journey, you don't need money. For this journey to come back to your original position, you don't need even knowledge or beauty or high parentage, you know, coming from a good family. You need spiritual strength. And to those who walk on the spiritual path, Krishna is willing to give this spiritual strength. There is a verse from the Bhagavad Gita which describes why Krishna and his expansions like Balaram appear at all in the world of men. And the verse is like this. I want to sing it to you. Paritranaya sarunam vinashaya cha duskritam dharma svanusti dharma samstapanataya sambhavami yuge yuge. Time after time, age after age, I appear personally to deliver those who walk on the spiritual path and to annihilate those who are rascals and disturb the progress of the human beings. And another purpose of mine, why I appear, is to re-establish the principle of religion. I give help. So the way Krishna does this is through his first expansion, Balaram. He is in charge to deliver the spiritual strength which we need to maintain our dharma, which we need to continue to move forward. Even in Berlin, where there are so many distractions, so many temptations. You must know in this world there is a certain law. The law is that of demon. What is it? Demonization. The law of decreasing. The law of losing value. Look at your house. If you have a house and you let it stand, after some time it will have Schimmelpilze, fungus, then there's some problem in the roof and the water comes down into your living room. Look at your car. You may now have a good car, but in 10 or 20 years your car is ready for India. they drive everything in India. or look at something else. Look at relationships. If you don't constantly be present in relationships, the relationships will become distant. This is a law in this world, and unfortunately this law also applies to your spiritual practice, to your spiritual life, to your efforts for self-realization. For it applies to your enthusiasm to become a better version of yourself. If you don't do anything to nourish it, it will become lesser, lesser, and lesser. If you believe, if you are a devotee of Krishna and you chant every morning, meditate every morning 2 hours in japa, you will see, if you don't do something to give this practice life, you will start to chant for maybe 1.5 hours, then for 1 hour, then on some days for 10 minutes, and so on. Or with other things, if you desire to be very have strict spiritual practice and do something as simple as rising early in the morning, you will see, if you don't motivate yourself, if you don't increase your strength, 5 o'clock will become 6 o'clock, 6 o'clock will become 7 o'clock, and on Sundays, who can say? and so on. So this is the law of this world. Everything except for the sun and the moon will deteriorate, will lose its power, will lose its strength. And unfortunately, our spiritual practice is no exception. Therefore, today is a very good day for getting strength, for refilling your tank. There is a sacred scripture. I think most of you know it. If you don't yet have this book, it is the best book I can recommend. It's the Srimad Bhagavatam. And if you don't have it, wait for a few weeks. When September comes, there is an activity in this temple. It's almost like a free for all. And everyone can get a Bhagavatam set, either with financial support from outside, from friends of the temple, or they can purchase a set of this wonderful spiritual encyclopedia for really a reduced price. Anyways, so in that work, it's thousands of years old, it says, as long as one has a body, one should destroy one's enemies by the strength of the Lord. Some of you think, what? By the strength of God, enemies should be destroyed. I thought these Hare Krishna people are peaceful people. Are they now also like fundamentalists? So, no, don't worry. the enemies which we have, as long as we are in this material body, are attachments that are harmful to us. We know we shouldn't eat so much, but already we have a belly like an elephant, but we cannot leave it. Or we know we should give up smoking, perhaps, or we know we should do this, but something in us, our habits make us attached to this. Illusion is another enemy for someone who has attained a material body. Fear is there. Passion, or that we become envious of someone who is walking the path, and we think, oh, he gets so much more support and so on. These things should be destroyed with the sword of knowledge, which is sharpened by the service to a genuine spiritual master. Yeah? Krishna gives you an instrument. He gives you spiritual knowledge in works like the Bhagavad Gita. And if you follow the instructions of a pure soul, a great devotee, a great saint, you will be able to sharpen that knowledge, and it will help you to get rid of your attachments, illusions and fears which you may carry in your heart. Without the strength of the Lord, without this divine strength, one is like a passenger on a chariot with blind horses. Imagine you have a chariot and the chariot has blind horses. You don't know where the chariot will bring you. Or without this sword of knowledge, one is like a helpless victim. Well, without the spiritual strength, I wanted to say, one is like a helpless victim who's overcome by the plunderers of these attachments, illusion, fear, which come. I remember there was a time when we were trying to build a temple in Vrindavan in India. And we were at that time very poor. Now we are also poor. We want to have a temple here in Berlin so that we can invite so many more people and do not need to send anyone home. But at the moment, we are waiting for a miracle, so to say. So we were in a similar situation when we went to India. Someone gave us a piece of land, but we had no financial means to buy bricks or bamboo and all these construction materials. But then after a long effort and struggle, by the help of many people, we were able to open a temple which is still there. It's called the Krishna Balaram Temple, where Krishna Balaram can be found on the central altar. My dear everyone, these were difficult days, pioneer days. I still remember these times. We had no mosquito nets. We were somehow in malaria when the mosquito season came right after the monsoon. We had no money to buy three meals a day. We were really poor monks. I remember also it was a very blissful time. Sometimes when you don't have anything, you put all your attention to God. That was the time when we were like this. But somehow, because of our desire to build a beautiful temple for the Lord, we opened a temple in 1773 or 71 or so. I cannot remember numbers without making mistakes. So in the 70s. At that time, my spiritual teacher was sitting like I'm sitting now and addressed all of us. And he made like It was a breath of relief. He said, now all the problems are over. Krishna is there, and on his right side, there's Balaram. Pray to Krishna for intelligence in your spiritual life, then you will make no mistakes. Krishna will give it. And also pray for strength. But for strength, you must go to Balaram. Then there is no problem any longer. Because Balaram gives this daivi shakti, this divine strength which we need to say no to illusion, to say no to our old habits, to say no to our desires which sometimes want harmful things for us. Pray for Balaram. And I remember one of my god sisters, Jagatarini, really, she had a bad case of malaria, and she said, oh, what can I do? I will die. We told her, don't worry, you won't die. You please go now before Krishna, Balaram on the altar, and you pray to Balaram for strength. And Srila Prabhupada, our teacher, said he will give it to you. Your problems are over. And I remember she looked, really? It's that simple? And then she went and she did her prayer. On the first day nothing happens, but then she went a second day and also third day, and then miraculously something turned in her and she became free from that disease. I think all of us require this strength, which is not just physical strength, but the spiritual strength. When you have a lot of spiritual strength, somehow you are in a mood, a spiritual mood, and your body just follows, like, let us say, a shadow follows the hand on the moving hand. I remember another incident. My spiritual master was in London at the Bhaktivedanta Manor. That's the place where I first saw Gokrishna. Gokrishna was singing there with his little brother, who was perhaps 7 years old at that time, and both of these brothers were singing beautifully. We will ask Gokrishna to sing today also. You will see that as singing. So Prabhupada was there in the manor, and he told the audience, Prabhupada is our spiritual master, there's a difference between you and me. You can fall down from the spiritual path, but I cannot fall down. It's a strong statement, no? Imagine a spiritual teacher addressing you. There's a difference between you and me. You can fall, I cannot fall. So after the class, Srila Prabhupada did not leave the temple room. He didn't go out of the temple room like he always did, to go to his room and receive people who wanted to speak to him. He went right before the altar, in front of the deities, in front of the Lord, and he prayed. He prayed for a long time. I have seen this also. Prabhupada would pray sometimes for half an hour. And one of his disciples, after the prayer session was over, went to him and said, what were you praying for? And Prabhupada replied, I was praying that I may never fall down. The disciple responded, but in your talk earlier you said you will never fall down. That's the difference between you and us. And Prabhupada replied, yes, because I'm always praying never to fall down, therefore I can never fall down. My dear listeners, this opens a very important path in spiritual life. It's called Vandanam, or the art of prayer. I think it takes a long time for a normal person to say, okay, now I cannot do this any longer alone. I must pray. I know even for myself, who is quite some time on the path, it takes a long time because I'm so busy in other things before I sit down and pray. And there is a reason why this is so. In this world, each one of us is so much accustomed to do things on his own strength. We go out on our own strength, we work to get the Lakshmi, or we give part of our Lakshmi to be invested somewhere. With our intelligence, we find the best way. We are so much used to solve our, to find solutions with our own strengths, that it goes almost against our habit to pray and make ourselves dependent on the Lord. That's why Krishna lifted for 7 days the Govardhan Hill. The first day he wanted to show you cannot be successful by your own strengths. The second day he wanted to show you cannot be successful with your own intelligence. The third day he wanted to show you cannot be successful by the knowledge which you have heard from others. The fourth day he wanted to show your money can't help you. And in this way, 7 points on the checklist were crossed out. You require my strength, my help, my divine support in order to do your thing. That's at the moment I'm writing a book, and I have heard this so often, and I've spoken so often about it, that before in the morning I start to write, I first sit down and pray. Because I know if I just write on my own strength, with my own knowledge or the wisdom I have heard, the book will have a limited power. But if I just say, please, you take over my intelligence, it will work better. Okay. Of course, many of you have the question, does God answer my questions? I remember when I was a music lover, not yet in spiritual life, there was a musical group which I liked. They were called The Doors. They had found this title by opening the door from Aldous Huxley, who had the band's name was made after a statement by Aldous Huxley to open the doors of perception. No, so. And I remember when I was young, I would hear the music, and often the singer of this musical group was starting his concerts with just shouting, "You cannot petition the Lord with prayers." I think many of us have the same mood. We think, does God answer my prayer? So, I mean, I have tried in the past. And there was not an immediate response, at least not the response I wanted. He didn't give me what I desired or wished for. There is a discussion in the scriptures in Chaitanya Charitamrita about this point. There is a devotee who may desire something other than service to Krishna. Mm-hmm. And the text goes on, but if he engages in the Lord's service nevertheless, although he does want material things like a wife perhaps, or a visa for Germany, long-term visa, or these things. If he engages in Krishna's service, Krishna gives him shelter of his lotus feet, even though he does not aspire for it. Krishna kahe, the Lord says, this person is engaged in my service, but he wants the benefits of material objects from this service. Such a devotee, Krishna thinks, is like a person who asks for poison instead of nectar. That is his foolishness. But I am not like this. I am experienced. Why should I give such a foolish person the dirty things of material enjoyment? It would be better for me to give him shelter at my lotus feet. I shall cause him to forget all material desires. If one engages in the service of the Lord, the result is that he ultimately loses his taste for harmful material things, and he gains a taste for the lotus feet of the Lord. And that's spiritual strength. I want to say in summary, yes, Krishna gives you what you desire. When you go before Lord Jagannath, before the deity, and go to Balaram, and you sincerely pray, Krishna will answer. He may not answer this second or the next second, but he will ultimately, eventually, at the end, answer. But his answer is so, his answer to your prayer is so, how do you say "woo" in proper English? It is so special, so special. This is what I wanted to say, that you will shift your attention from that what you were praying for when it was a material object, and you will want him only. I know when I first came to spiritual life, I wanted to do two things. I was very young and foolish. I wanted to be in Sweden because there are so many blonde ladies. And I wanted to be in Afghanistan for reasons which I'm too shy to reveal here. And both of the desires were fulfilled. I lived in Sweden for 1.5 years by Krishna's arrangement, and I also was in Afghanistan for a good amount of time. I was leading a school there for school children, little children, and their parents. But when I was in Sweden, I didn't want blonde ladies. I lost the material desire. I wanted only Krishna, and I was talking to many people there. And when I was in Afghanistan, I also had lost my taste in why I wanted to initially go there when I was not a monk. And I was also able to serve Krishna there very, very effectively, I think. I was with a group of 3 monks. Three monks, yes. We were three only. Yes. So Krishna answers our prayers, but in a way that they are not harmful for us, that we are not entangling ourselves. So, yes, this is something to be remembered. Balaram, and I want to end here, has two aspects. a tattva aspect and a lila aspect. Let's make it simple. Two aspects. One is he's a manifestation of God who gives strength to this universe so that everything, the planets are staying in place, the atoms stay in place, and this way we have stones and trees and houses, because there's a strong force which binds these molecules and atoms together. This is one of the strengths of God, of Balaram. And he also gives spiritual strength to those who asked him. In his pastimes, where he engages in divine play, he is in Vrindavan, and every morning he goes out with Krishna for cow herding. They go to the base of a beautiful mountain. It's a Govardhan mountain. You must see this mountain. And they go to Manasa Sarova, a beautiful lake which is filled with the water of the Ganga. Sorry. They eat fruits and sweets. Now we are, think of eating. I have some physical reaction. I'm very, very sorry. I don't consider it very impolite to do this. It came and went. And then they come back in the evening time. They bathe and dress. They eat a feast. And in the evening they go to the palace auditorium, where there is an evening of drama, dancing, recitation, instrumental music, Vedic mantras, and a wonderful magic show. This is the daily life of Krishna Balaram in Vrindavan in a nutshell. They play like, as if the play is all. You know, when you see a child, for him, the world is play. Everything is dance and play and happiness. I know children sometimes cry, but when they play, they are happiness. So God plays like this without any other purpose than just playing and playing and playing. So once in the divine play, it so happened that one asura, a demon, came, and he disguised himself like a cowherd boy. And as the play was going on, Balaram went on his shoulders, and this demon began to run away with Balaram, wanting to cause harm and possibly kill him even. As he was running, he showed his real form. In Bosnia you say the wolf can change its fur, but it doesn't change its wolf mind. So this demon had dressed like an innocent little boy playing with the Lord, but it had his wolf mentality still inside. So he was running and increasing his size. He had huge fangs, copper red hair. He became as big as a mountain, and Balaram was sitting on top. And first he enjoyed having a good view now over Vrindavan. But then he thought, this is very unusual. At that moment, Krishna called out for him, "O soul of souls, O secret of all secrets, why are you now acting as a human being? You are not a human being. Stop this lila, this pastime of being a little boy. Just deal with the demon in an appropriate way." And then Balaram, the source of all strengths, took his celebrated fist and delivered this demon from his existence. Yes. So, this is the two sides of Balaram. In one side, you see him engaged in lila and in pastime, and inviting you to join the the dance of love in the spiritual world. In the other aspect, you see him carrying the universe and carrying all the planets. I thought we should do a little meditation on Lord Balaram. I will, it's a very beautiful, I will read to you, it's a text meditation from the Nectar of Devotion. It's a beautiful text.
Then we will chant it three times together.
Mysteries of spiritual life, although we may not be able to see with our physical eyes the Lord, when we chant His name, like we chanted Ram in the end, we feel His presence in our heart. This is a mystery. Good. The word calls. Thank you all very, very much for participating so far in this program.